Amen. So, yo, let's just really give Jesus a clap and thanks for all of these testimonies. He's so faithful and good. En nou kan ek ook 'n beerd kry. Yes. Okay, turn to the person next to you and say, we're going to fan the flame today. Okay, that is scriptural also. It's not just something that I said. But this week, last week, we had an amazing event on campus with Angus Bakken. Who of you were there? Who were really changed and touched by that event? It was really amazing. And I remember, it was just so awesome. And I could just see we were worshiping there in front. And just to see all the thousands of people standing in front of us. And really just having this encounter with God. And the next morning, I went to fetch from Angus. And we went to the airport. And in the bus, he told me, he said, Jacobus, I'm not really an evangelist. I said, what? You are. You're like just preaching the gospel. He says, no, I'm more a revivalist. He comes to places, to events like Coffee Church or Mighty Men. What does he do? He revives the church. He wakes them up. He says, come on. Amen. Okay, he psychs them up. He fans the flame. He fans the flame. And he said, but the biggest part of this whole thing is for the church to continue fanning the flames in the hearts. Otherwise, next week we'll just have another Angus encounter or Sunday church's encounter. And I thought about it, and it's actually a thing that the Lord really spoke to me from, because we're so event-driven sometimes in church. We're so from one event to another event to conference to Hillsong. And that is our source sometimes. Sometimes our source is an Angus event. You come in the door and you're like, oh, I've backslidden so much. Thank God it's Angus here today. Tonight I will walk out again on fire for God and excited for God. And then you go out of the door. Yes, yes, jylle, Facebook. Oh, Jesus was so good. Hallelujah. Hashtag, die koning en kruik het gekom. And then a week later, 2 weeks later, you're just again, oh, I'm so dry. Oh, this desert. You see, because our source is wrong. In the charismatic church, I believe, specifically, is our source has become events, become worship. It became not, it moved away from Jesus. Amen? It moved away from Him being our source, Him being our bread, Him being our light, Him being our everything. So, this morning, I'm going to just share a little bit on how do we keep that fire burning in our lives. And for some of you, it will be really, you said, oh, I know this, everything that you're going to say, I've known this. But this morning I prayed and said, Lord, but the people know this. He says, and then he just told me, but they're not doing it. They know it, but there's not fruit of that in their lives. Okay, so I trust this morning that we're going to really get excited for the fruit of continuing keeping this fire burning. Amen. Are you excited? Yes. Woo, let's go. So, I want to start by reading a scripture in Luke 24. The next one. Okay, before that, we all know what's a fire. Now, who have not seen a fire in your life? Okay, I know the guys, they don't really like fire and stuff. They don't like to braai and build big fires. We always did it on camps. Yo, we tried to see how big bonfire we can build. Like, we just took, I was a voortrekker, so we literally like bring the whole farm's wood on that fire, and then we stood there. We're like, wow, look how amazing is this fire. And then the one guy some guys would bring this hairspray, you know, and then like, whoa, it's like, on the fire. It's like, fire is amazing. It really entertains you. It's amazing just to sit around the fire and look at the flames and stuff. So fire is really awesome. And I remember we were on Malawi 2013. we were there. And this one pastor, his ministry's name is Burning Fire Ministries. And we were in that church, and then they sang the songs. Then the fire come, and I know it's not really biblical, but he was just so around very lots of fire, and I had to preach around fire, and oh, we had the fire of God in us, and then the people got so psyched up and stuff. But it's really also in scripture, and it's that passion in your heart, that thing that burns in you, what the fire for the gospel, the fire for Jesus that burns in you. And we need to fan that. Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 verse 6, he says, therefore I remind you to fire, to stir up the gift of God, or to fan the flame. The other translation says to fan that flame. So this morning we are here to remind you, I'm here to remind you that you need to continue to fan the flame in your life and also the people around you. Okay? I've never seen a fire that just burns forever and ever and ever. You have to go, take wood, put it on the fire, and then it burns again. You have to go, put wood, take it on the fire until it burns. Except this gas, but the gas also finishes. So you have to continue to build that fire. Leviticus 6 verse 12. We read, and the fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order on it. And he shall burn on it the fat of the peace offerings. A fire shall always be burning on the altar. It shall never go out. Okay, so that's just a scripture that we can see that the priest had to take every morning, had to take wood and to put it on the altar. Nee? That fire was not allowed to end. That fire was not allowed to stop. Every day that fire had to be put wood again. Okay, now we go to the New Testament in Luke chapter 24. Now this is amazing. When I saw this, I was like, whoa, this is so cool. This was just after Jesus died and he was he was put in the grave, and then he resurrected, and then he appeared again to the disciples. Okay, now listen here what he says. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us? Verse 32 again. Listen. They said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road? And while he opened the scriptures to us. So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jesus and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. Everybody say, amen. Great. So in this passage, we see five principles that I've seen in this passage alone on how do we keep the fire burning in our lives. Okay, are you ready? The first one I saw is the disciples said to Jesus, abide with us. Nee? What does that mean? They said, Jesus, stay with us. Don't leave. Don't go away. Stay with us. Abide with us. Just a little longer. Please abide with us. Because they probably know he was going away and they just love to be with Jesus. Imagine the disciples, how privileged they were to spend every day with Jesus. Yeah, that would be awesome. And there they say, Lord Jesus, don't go. Abide with us. Stay with us. Ne? Why? Because when they stayed with Jesus, he could show them how to do. He could teach them. He could be with them. He could love them. He could they could follow him, okay? They could follow him when he stayed with us. Now in John chapter 15, what do we read there? Who can tell me? John chapter 15. Okay, let's read it. Verse 1 to 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. Everybody say, abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bear much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Everybody say that. For without me you can do again. For without. Okay. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. So the first principle, the most important principle when it comes by keeping this flame alive in us, is to you need to abide in Christ. You need to know that that is your position, is in Christ. That is where you get your fruit. That is where you get your, like that vine, is it is planted in the branches. Ne? You understand that? Without being planted in the branch, will that vine be able to bear fruit? Thinking of it now in an agricultural place. No, it won't. It will not, if you cut the branch and it leaves there on the floor, it will not bear any fruit. It needs to be abided inside. It needs to receive that water, that nourishment, that stuff that comes from the vine into the branches. Okay. So Jesus says, without me, you will not be able to bear any fruit. So without Christ, you cannot keep that flame burning inside of you. It's impossible. Okay. God is the one that initiates that fire in us. Okay. He's like the blitz. When you go to braai, you take the blitz, you put it there, whoosh, and it keeps the fire for a little while. It ignites that fire. Okay. So he's the blitz. But eventually that blitz, you know, it doesn't, the wood needs to take that fire and then it can continue burning. So Jesus is the initiator in our life. He's the one that brings us to a place of where we get born again, where we experience him, like on Angus on Wednesday night. He's the one that creates that moment in our life where we experience him and where we encounter him. Amen. All of us has had an encounter with God, ne? Wie het al 'n encounter gehad met die Here? Yes, my tense is rock normal. Okay, amen. He's the one that brings that into our life. He's the one that brings us to that place where we see, yes, Jesus, I give my life to you. Okay, it's a moment. It's a time in our life that it happens. And we all know, I've been there also, grade 9. I got saved on a mission trip in Mozambique. I was so on fire for God. I came back from the mission trip. I stood on the table in my class. I preach the guys. I say, repent, give your life to Christ. I was so on fire. You've all heard that term, eh? I was so on fire. Huh? And then, what was the next part of that sentence? But that fire went away. I want to stay on fire. Until the day Jesus comes, I want to stay on fire. God wants you to stay on fire, not to fade away, not that fire will fade and that there will just be ash left. Come on, who wants to be on fire until Jesus returns? Yes, and we can, and this is five basic principles that we've been knowing for many years. But we have to say, Lord Jesus, today I am going to fan my friend. I'm going to fan him, say, continue, press in. This morning when I was praying, I saw this picture of a baseball. That's the one in America. And they were throwing the ball, and then the whole time the guy that was pitching missed. The one that bats. He missed the ball, and then eventually he just started running. But he missed it completely, and he started running. And as soon as he started running, I saw the legs, all of the legs of the people that were running were in braces and broken, and they couldn't really run. And then eventually they came to a place, I stopped, and then I just saw massive stretches of people just lying on stretches, just like got out, just lying there. And I said, oh, yeah, Lord, what do you want to say? And I just felt the Lord said that we start initially, we stand there, we are ready to start to hit this ball. But then we get tired, and then we just fall out, and we just lay there. We just lay, we just man out, and we don't get back onto the field again. Because we get discouraged, I've been there, I said, Lord, I just want to stop with the ministry or whatever. You get discouraged, and therefore we need each other to continue to press each other, to say, come on, yes, you can do it. Let's pray together, have fellowship together, come to church, come to small group, have accountability partners, but you personally need to start with this in your life. Okay, so abide in me, basically it means to remain or stay around, okay? So when Jesus says abide in me, he says stay with me, remain around me. Don't walk away from me, stay with me, remain with me. Galatians 2 verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Sure. There was the moment Jesus died, newsflash, your life, and you gave your life to Christ, was switched. You swapped your life, you exchanged your life for Jesus. Okay? You laid your life down. You denied yourself, and you are following Christ now. He is in you. He's living inside of you. And that is the life that you live. And he says, without me, you cannot do anything. Without me, it's the first important thing. Without me, nothing is impossible. Nothing is possible. Sorry. Okay, so how more? The second point is to eat the bread. You see there in that chapter, I'm just taking out from that passage that I read in Luke. The first one, the disciple says, abide with me. Then just after that, they sat at the table with him, and he took the bread. So they ate the bread. Okay, so with Jesus, they ate the bread. Who is the bread now today? It is Jesus. He's the bread of life. John 6 verse 35, and Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Now, the Old Testament, what they did is with the Egyptians and the Israelites, when they were in the desert, for 40 years they were in the desert, God provided for them every day manna. Okay, so he sent it down from heaven, and then they went out of their tents. They go out and they say, oh, here's my food for the day. Then they picked it up and they ate it. And then they were not allowed to take actually for the second day. They were only allowed on the Sabbath, the day before the Sabbath, to also take for the seventh day, because then they weren't allowed to work. Now, yeah, we see that this is a prophecy that came into fulfilling, because they expected that the Messiah will be the bread of life. The Jews knew that he would be the bread of life. And just before we read this passage where Jesus said, I am the bread of life, Jesus feeds the 5,000 with the fish and the loaves. He feeds them. And then after that, they came to him. And then they got really, actually, they were confused, because Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Because they thought what he can give them, he can give them bread and he can give them But he said, no, that's not why I am here. I'm not here to improve your life. He said that to the Jewish people. I'm not here to improve your life. I am here to be your life. Okay? Do you understand that? Yes. He said, I'm not here to come and bring you bread, but to be the bread. Because they thought Jesus is going to improve their life. Lekker, lekker. Maak my lewe lekkerder. And to give me food, give me stuff. But Jesus says, no. You had it missed, wrong, completely. I am here to be your life. I am here to be the bread. Not to give or to improve your life. Okay. So when it comes to that, Jesus says, you need to eat from Jesus. And that is just basically spend time in the Word of God. This is our bread today. This book, the Bible, is our bread. And we need to eat this. We need to feast on this Word every day, every morning. Say, Lord, come. So that our flames will not go away. So that our flames will continue to burn in us. Eat the Word of God. Spend time in His Word. Like Olga said, the Word just came this morning again. There's nothing wrong with this Word. This is an eternal book of God. Until eternity, the Word will not return void. Every word in this Bible is the truth, and we stand on it. And we believe that. Amen. Okay, are you still with me? Great. The third one there is where we see them asking Jesus. Amazing, in verse 31. Then their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. Yo. So I believe in that moment, after they spent time with Christ and after they ate the bread, Jesus opened their eyes to see him for who he truly is. Okay? We sing lots of times that song, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Okay? We want to see who Jesus really is. We want to see him for who he is. Not the pictures and the movies that we've tried to make our mind against. We want to see him in his realness. And Paul, in Ephesians 3, he prays this prayer. And this is so amazing. This is beautiful. In Ephesians 3, verse 14, he says, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. In this passage, we read about a four-dimensional love. It's not a three or a two or a one-dimensional. He said the height, the depth, the length, and the width. Imagine that. I can't comprehend that. I can't imagine. I cannot think in my mind how is that love, a four-dimensional love. And that is what Christ wants us. He says, Paul says, I pray this for you, brethren. I pray that you will come to know that love. And just after that, in verse 19, that you may be filled with all the what of God? The fullness of God. Verse 19 says that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Come on, who wants to be filled with all the fullness of God? All the fullness. Who wants to know the love of God, the height, the depth, the width, the length, and the width? That is Paul's desire. And he says, this is for you also, my brethren. Today, this is for us also, that we will start getting that desire in our hearts to say, Jesus, I want to know you. I want you to open my eyes. I want you to open my eyes so that I can see you for who you are truly. You see, because the moment Christ is not our first love anymore in our life, we fall back and we get complacent in our life. Therefore, Paul says, this is the first, this is very important. The moment Christ is not your first love anymore, the moment you lose your love towards Christ or the desire to know Him more, to the desire to have the fullness of God, you get comfortable, then that fire goes. That fire leaves. It's so important that we keep that. We say, Lord, every morning when you wake up, you must say, Jesus, thank you for this day. I love you. I want to know you more. Every morning. Because what happens in Revelation 2 verse 4, it says, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. There, the church was, God rejected that church because they left His first love, their first love. Guys, we know what happened in our life. The enemy tries to bring lots of things that can take this place of Christ in our life. But Jesus wants to be on the throne in your life. He wants to be the first life. It's Him and then everything else. There's nothing that you can put. You can't put anything above Christ. You can't put anything above Him. It's Him on the throne of your life. And then all the other things is beneath Christ. If you want to keep that fire in your burning, then Jesus must be your first love. He must be the moment you wake up, He must be the first thing that you think of, and the last thing when you go to sleep. When you walk in the street, when you walk, drive in your car, He must be on your mind. It must be your, I don't know, because I don't have a wife yet, but imagine just you marrying somebody. You think about that person the whole time. You want to spend time with that person the whole time. I would want to do that one day when I marry. And I want to be with my wife. I want to speak to her. I want to stay with her. That's what I want to do. And that's Christ says, I want to be that in your life. I want to be your first love. And for some of us here this morning, Christ is not our first love. He's not the one that we think of every morning when we wake up. He maybe gets 10 seconds a day or not even. Let Christ be your first love. Let Him come in your heart again. Amen? Okay, great. The fourth one that we see there in this passage is what happened. They said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while He talked of us on the road? They had fellowship with each other. They said, listen, Yoni, did you see what just happened in my life? Yo, I was at Angus, or I was at church this morning, and I had this encounter with Jesus, or this is what God told me, and please, just pray for me in this week, that I may continue what God has told me this morning, that I will do it in this week. That's what they did, just after that supper with Jesus. They went to each other after He went, He said, yes, God, yes, it was great. And that's fellowship, and that's something we lose. And in Hebrews 10, verse 24, it says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That's why we have small groups in church. That's why we come to church. That's why we have prayer groups and Bible study groups and worship groups and lots of groups so that we can encourage each other, so that we can stir each other, so that we can have fellowship with each other. No man is an island. Okay? If you isolate yourself from brothers and sisters in the church, then the enemy will really come and he will take that fire out of you. Surround yourself with people that love Christ. Surround yourself with people like David. He's an exhorter. He's the one that encourages and he's just, it's so nice just to be around him. People like that, the Lord has given each one of you a gifting to edify the body. Use that gift that you received. If you are an intercessor, pray. If you are one that loves to give gifts, give it. If you can make nice food, give it to me. I like to eat. I'm joking. Okay. But yo, guys, it's so amazing. I can't believe it. We see it here in the disciples. Immediately after that, this encounter with Jesus, they had fellowship. Okay, every day we read in the books of the Acts, every day they went from house to house. Every day, encouraging. You can't do this on your own. You can't keep the fire burning on your own. You need people to say, hey, hey Belinda, I saw you not at church on Sunday. What was going on? You need people like that in your life. But she's here every Sunday, so that's why I can use her as example. We love you, Belinda. Okay. We are a body of Christ. Jesus is the head and we are the body. Great. The head cannot walk on its own, eh? He needs the legs to walk and he needs the hands. We are here to love each other, to serve each other. This is your family, the people that are sitting next to you this morning. They are here to love you. They are here to see the fullness of God come into your life. Embrace them. Don't get excuses. So easily we can just make an excuse not to be at small group on Wednesday. Be there. That's where we stir up one another, where we love one another. Okay, and then the last one, and that we see in this passage of the disciples, and they went. They could not keep silent. They went to everybody, and they told them of this Jesus and of what he has done in your life. Matthew 5, verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Acts 22, verse 15, for you will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. The response, the immediate response. When I was so on fire for God at school, I could not keep silent. I couldn't keep silent. I need to speak to Jesus, to people about Jesus. Okay, that is the response when you are on fire for God. Or the result is you cannot keep silent. These disciples, they dedicated their life. That everyone died for the cause of the gospel, except John. But all of the other disciples and apostles died for the cause of, are you willing to die for the cause of the gospel? If people come in that door with machine guns, this big machine guns today, and they say, deny Christ. Otherwise, I'll shoot you. Are you willing to say, I will never deny Christ. I will die for the gospel. I am. I am willing. I'm just so excited for Jesus. I just love Jesus so much. And this morning, I just want to encourage you. I want to say, keep on searching for Christ. Never lose heart. Never grow tired. If you are tired, you say, please, brother, I'm tired. I don't want to do this. Then we pray for you. We lay hands on you. Go on missions. I've seen so many people getting bored with church. And I see the biggest reason of that is they're not giving anymore. They're not going. They're not telling. If in my life, I just know, if I don't witness to people and if I don't spread the gospel, feels like I lose my salvation. Okay? We're not made just to be filled. We're made to give. As we receive, we give. We give to people. We give to people. And if you're here this morning and you feel, oh, Sunday, church again. Oh, it's so boring. When was the last time you said to somebody, just basically, Jesus loves you. It doesn't need to be this huge sermon and he has to fall on his face and repent. And just basic, Jesus loves you. That's all. You just give from yourself to other people. And that's what we see in the disciples and in their lives. And that was the fruit of their ministry. They could not keep silent. And I want to encourage you this morning. And the last scripture for this morning is in Hebrews chapter 12. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let us run this race with endurance. This morning we're going to pray for each other that we will run with endurance, that you will not get tired. And those of you who are tired or maybe fallen back in this race, we're going to take your hand this morning again and say, come brother, come sister. The kingdom must come. Wherever we go, the kingdom must come. There's not time to sit back. There's not time to relax. Amen? We need to go. Go to the people. And if in 20 years you look back and you say, oh, there was this Jacobus, the guy is preaching, and all you can remember him telling you to go and preach about Jesus, then it's fine. I will say it every Sunday. But we are here to bring the kingdom of God. That is why we are here. We are here, like we said last week, we are fishers of men. The first job Christ gave us is to be fishers of men. Amen. So let's stand this morning. This morning, it's really a joy for me just to pray with you this morning. And I just want to, like in 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy, we just want to pray for each other to stir up that good works. Amen. To stir up, to fan that flame inside of your spirit. Okay? Is that right? So I want you just to turn to the person next to you, just there where you are standing. Pray together. Pray for that person this morning. Say, yes, I come and encourage you. Ask him, how is he? Firstly, ask, how is the flame in his life? Maybe it's a bit dead. Maybe it's not so well. Then you pray that that fire will ignite again. That fire will ignite again in his life. And then you just bless him. Just pray over him. Encourage him. Stir him up this morning. Amen. Great. Let's pray.